find. Beauty and brokenness is the good news that we want to talk about. Because, after all, we live in a world that's a bit broken. Or haven't you quite noticed? It's part of what we face all the time. Well, we have stories in our lives that some we make ourselves and some are stories that we follow, stories that we hear of, stories that some make for us, whatever it might be. I just wanted to share a couple of rewrites of stories and see what you think here. Because sometimes we need to rewrite our own stories, but let's see what happens when we look at some of the common stories with a little brief kind of rewrite here. How about It's a Wonderful Life? I have a simple rewrite for that story. And let's see. George Bailey had a savings and loan and helped everyone buy their own home. Mr. Potter at the big bank thought it was a great idea and helped him out. Okay, is that better or worse than the story that you know? Okay. Well, Frosty the Snowman. Some kids made a really nice snowman. They named it Frosty. Frosty decorated it and put a hat on. The hat was magic, and Frosty came alive and never melted. Okay, is that good or is that worse? Is that good or better? You know, well, it sounds good, but is that like the story that you remember? How about Lord of the Rings? Once upon a time, there were some happy hobbits. It was nice. Once upon a time, there were some happy hobbits. It was nice. Okay, that's not quite the whole story, is it? Our lives are built up with much more than that, and we want to think about how our lives are part of the way that stories actually work. Because really good stories aren't as simple as those statements. Really good stories involve conflict. There's always an antagonist to go against the protagonist. There's always, you know, conflict going on in there. And we're watching that conflict as we watch the story, as we hear the story. We're seeing how the conflict plays out. And we want to find out who wins, who gets over this, how this works out. There's brokenness because somewhere along the line, along the way, someone is hurt, someone is challenged, someone has to stretch beyond what they thought they could do, someone has to take an extra step, someone has to give in, one has to stand up. There's all of this kind of brokenness that happens, and we wonder, how are we going to do this? You've been knocked down over and over. I watched one of the more silly James Bond movies yesterday, and you know, it's this James Bond in that movie was knocked down so many times. Oh, always got up again. Always got up again and came out the winner. Good stories involve that conflict and brokenness, and they involve trial. Are you going to come out on the right side of things? Are you going to make the right choices? Are you going to help the right people? Are you going to do what's necessary to make the world better? Those are parts of the things that all good stories involve. When we write our own stories, though, sometimes we do it a little differently. Sometimes we define a good story in our life with entirely different words. We like our lives to come out with no conflict. After all, isn't peace important? We like our lives to come out with no brokenness. We don't like the hurt. We don't like the pain. We don't like having to suffer. We like our stories to come out with no trials. We want things to go smooth, like one woman who was in her 30s in British Columbia said to me at the beginning of a choir practice. She says, "Well, here I am. I have a couple of great kids in junior high. I have a house that's all paid for. My husband has a great job. You know what? I've been following God, and God has always blessed me so much. I've never had anything bad happen in my life." Okay, some of you know what's going on in the back of my brain. You better watch out, girl. It's coming. Because our stories don't write just like that. Our stories are life stories. There's conflict all the way. It might be conflict with our parents, or conflict because of where we live, or conflict because of what happens when we go to school, or conflict that happens because of things that are pressed upon us, or mistakes we make. There's brokenness. You know, we're broken by death. We're broken by sickness. We're broken by loss. We're broken by having to move, by having to find a new job, about having to retire, about having to make changes in health. There's brokenness in our lives, and there's trials in our lives all the time. What are the choices we are going to make in our life? Are we going to choose something that is what God wants us to do? Are we going to choose something that puts us in the center of His best future for us? Now, by the way, God doesn't decide for us that we are going to go through life without it. As one little boy was asked if he thought Jesus ever made mistakes, and he said, well, of course he did. How would he ever learn anything if he didn't? Well, isn't that how we learn best? Through the mistakes we make? We learn best through failing, about how to be successful. And in fact, if we haven't tried enough things, that we failed at some, that we haven't tried very hard. Because that's what life is like. That's the way it works. And we wonder sometimes what God is doing with all of these things we face. And we discover that God is writing His own story. As we think about the Christmas story, there's lots and lots of brokenness that goes on behind that. There's a nation that was occupied by an invading force. There's religious practices that are being stifled, and some of those who had given in to the political system. There's poverty, and there's riches. There's those that would oppress others and those that are oppressed. There's the lowest of society, the highest of society. They don't get along very well. Sounds really familiar to us. But that's the way it was. And think about how this story works out. This story that God writes for us starts with a world that began perfect and then was broken. And in this brokenness, his favorite creation, mankind, just goes against him and pushes away. And yet his love pursues them throughout all of history. God's love pursues us throughout all of history. And in the midst of this, there are some broken systems that happen. There's political systems that are broken, religious systems that are broken, family unity that's broken. All of these things happen all the time because as people we make mistakes. We make mistakes, or by our greed we inflict others with oppression or terror or even worse. All of these things are happening because we have a lot of difficulty understanding how to live the way God really intended. Let's see. I think I need to restart on my program here. There we go. There's these broken systems that are here. There's a lot of inconvenience that's here. Think about when Mary heard the news that she was going to bear the Son of the Most High. Teenage girl, unwed, picked out by God. Say, well, I know you have a fiance, but pretty inconvenient. How about Joseph? Joseph, I know that you have a fiance, but pretty inconvenient. A census taken in Bethlehem, when they lived in Nazareth, the whole family had to go right at the time that Mary was about to deliver. Pretty inconvenient. No room in the inn Instead, they slept where the animals did. And the Son of God was laid in a feeding trough. Pretty inconvenient. This is the story that God wrote for himself. It's really pretty messy. And our lives are full of messiness, aren't they? Things that we want to go just right, we all of a sudden, you know, trip and fall, and the everything is scattered everywhere. It's kind of like, have you ever brought in, or have you ever been carrying a nice plate at a potluck, and it ends up on the floor? Life is messy like that. Life is messy like that. And the good news is that God enters into our messiness and creates beauty out of all of that brokenness. And that's what he does as he writes the story of his salvation. We would ask, God, why this way? Why did you do it this way? You could have done anything, God. Why like this? You could have had your son born in the finest chambers in the palace in Jerusalem. You could have had him attended by the very best of the nursemaids. You could have elevated Mary to a place of honor while she was giving birth to your son. You could have crowned Joseph as the most favored stepfather ever. You could have done all of these things, but instead there was a journey. There was the challenge of, who do we marry, or what do we marry? Do I put her away? Do I take her as wife? There was the challenge of now having a babe that's pretty much born out in the open. Well, not quite out in the open, probably the basement of a dwelling, in a sense, where their family animals were normally kept, but not like a cozy indoors. Why this way, God? You could have done it anyway. But we find out in all of the things that we go through in life, God is doing something good. We worry sometimes about questioning God. God, why? Why did you do it this way? Why did this happen? Why did I have to face this trial? Why did my job end right when I think things were going well? Why did my car crash just when I had it all paid off? Why did I get injured right at the point when I needed most to work extra? Why? God, why? And sometimes it feels wrong. Sometimes we just feel really angry with God, and we just want to shout it out. Well, read the Psalms. David did that all the time. It's all right. He's a big God. He can take it. And he takes it in his loving arms. Questioning God can feel wrong because we think that there might be a better way. Why this way, God? Isn't this something that's going to be too much of a challenge? But the thing is, when we face trials, they put us in a position to grow. If we don't have to stretch and push and grow, we don't make any progress. And of course, when we're young, we say, no pain, no gain, and we think that's a good thing. When we're old, we're saying, every bit of this pain means I'm not gaining a thing. But trials put us in a position to grow. It gives us the opportunity to take a new approach to the same old thing. Because we have to sometimes. And because we discover we need to, or we discover that the direction we're going is not the best way to do it. And we discover that in the worst situations, we can still experience God's presence. And experiencing his presence means that we can find love and grace in the answers that we discover. We find out, we look, have you ever noticed it's better looking back on your life than living this day or looking to next week? Looking back on your life, you can say, well, see how God brought me through. The reason I'm breathing today is because God did this for me. God did that for me. God saved me from this. God saved me from that. He protected me here. He helped me there. Over and over and over and over. I don't know about your story. I know about Bobby's story. I know about my story. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty messy if God isn't involved. But when God is involved, all the brokenness can be healed. When God is involved, He brings beauty, even though we just see the brokenness. We have to remember, we don't know what's going on, but God is doing something. When we face a struggle, when we face a trial, when somebody says cancer, when somebody says heart disease, when somebody says there's arthritis we won't be able to cure, when somebody says there's crushed discs in your back, whatever it might be, there's so many of those stories we can share together. When somebody says that a child has died, when somebody says that a parent has died, somebody says that a sibling has died, somebody says that a pet has died, all of those things. We wonder what's going on, but God is still at work, still creating beauty. When we look back, we find out how He brings us through. When we look forward, we need to do it with hope, because what God is doing is something beyond our understanding. He's teaching us things about life and living and death on this earth to remind us of life with Him forever. Those are just realities that we face all the time. Our lives are messy. This world is messy. We step right outside this door and it's messy. And I'll tell you what, if I told you about the phone call that I had yesterday for 45 minutes, you would you would know that things are really messy. Which reminds me, Simeon, I should talk to you after church. But God is at work doing something beyond our understanding. Not by avoiding the brokenness, but getting us through that brokenness. He doesn't leave us there. He moves us through from brokenness to health, to healing, to life, to goodness. God is doing something. He's doing something in us. He's doing something with us. You remember the last sermon that I shared on Lazarus, I talked about how God uses even the people that didn't know they were involved for His perfect purposes. He used Martha. Her job was to believe, to see the glory of God. He used the bystanders to remove the stone from the grave. He used a dead man to walk out of the grave, as He called him out. He used those who didn't really believe in what was going on, didn't know that this would happen, to unwrap and set Lazarus free. He uses people at every stage in every disaster for His perfect purposes. He works with us in our situation to bring us through brokenness and bring us to life. He is doing something. It's not the brokenness that makes stories good, but it's what happens through it. And that's the kind of thing that God is doing when He's writing our story. When He's writing the gospel story, He's working on making something good through it. He's working on helping us to overcome those things that we face so that we might be stronger. The gospel story itself is that way. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there were no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The broken beauty of the gospel shows up in all of these stages. There was Joseph and Mary who had gone to Bethlehem, and in a rushed marriage, they talk about the betrothal still in the Gospel of Luke. We talk about in Matthew where the angel says, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." So we don't need to say that Mary was unmarried when Jesus was born. But still, this was a challenging situation, a challenging situation in this broken world. We know that when there's the gospel of God in this broken world, things are messy. They're messy with what we need to do. They're messy with our financial situations. They're messy with our family situations. Imagine the family situation Joseph had to deal with when he said, "Well, I'm going to marry Mary anyway." Think back on cultural realities when there's a pregnancy before marriage in that area, and he goes, you know, there's all kinds of levels of things for Joseph and for Mary that happen with this. But in this broken world, God brings wholeness. "Unto you is born." He says the angels of glory go to the shepherds in the field. Stinky, dirty, hanging out with the sheep. And they say, "Go to Bethlehem. I got you a Savior." And they go. And they become the first evangelists, telling everybody what they saw. And of course, everybody that heard it thought they were nuts. But in Bethlehem, in a stable, in the middle of the night, and shepherds are the heralds of this good news? This is kind of nuts to them. But in our broken world, there's also an enemy of grace that we have to face. Satan comes at God in every way he can. He's ultimately powerless to do a thing. Kind of like when our little dog is playing tug-of-war on a rope with us. Oh, she thinks she's pretty tough. She thinks she's got it made. She thinks that she will overpower us every single time. She believes that. And tries and grabs that rope and chews and pulls and rips it around and everything else. Well, Bobby, with her bad hand, just sits there hanging onto the loop, you know, kind of, "All right, fine, we're getting a little exercise." Satan's kind of like that against God. He thinks he'll win every time, and he never will. But we have this enemy of grace that tries to foil us, tries to foil the plans of God. God said, "I'm going to bring a Savior into the world." And Satan's, you know, hanging out at the palace, and God goes to Mary in Nazareth. You know, things don't happen the way Satan thinks, because God will create a surprise that will overwhelm the situation. And so Jesus actually comes as a surprise, where he's born, when he's born, what the situation of that was. And we discover through all of this that God comes humbly. God comes humbly, not in the big, majestic parade as he comes into town, but he comes humbly. He comes to the lowest first. a young girl from a backwater town, shepherds in the fields. He comes to the lowest first because he reminds us that absolutely everybody is important. Whether we're talking about an unplanned teenage pregnancy or whether we're talking about a manger for a crib, the broken beauty of the gospel is that God loves us so much that he will enter into any situation in our lives and come close to us so that he might create beauty out of the brokenness that we suffer with all the time. He invites us to grace. He invites us to enter into what he's given us. He invites us to believe that he is offering us life to our murdered souls. Yeah, murdered souls. As that phrase came to me in my preparation, I thought, is that really the word I should use? And, you know, the Spirit said, yes, exactly. The purpose of Satan is to murder our souls, to get us out of the possibility of having a future with God the Father who loves us so much. But God says, I don't care. That is no big deal to me because I have the grace that will overcome everything. I have given my Son that all you have to do is believe that I love you so and life will come to you. There's good news because there's beauty in the brokenness of our world. There's beauty in the reality of the Savior. There's life and health and hope and purpose because he loves us so. Don't forget, in the challenges you face, whether it's families that get weird or whether it's losses that are brand new and your heart is still bleeding from them, or it's separations that you didn't expect or burdens of finance or repairs on things or whatever else that you didn't expect, remember to look for how God is at work, because he is. Remember how he has worked for you in your past, because he has. And with hope, know that he is working in this situation, in this day, in this time, right now, for his best purposes, to bring beauty out of our brokenness. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your grace. We're so grateful that you have provided for us all we need and more. That in you there is life. Forgive us for the death that we bring to the goodness that you surround us with. But Lord, we also ask you to restore our own souls. Call us forth from the tombs, whether they be our own making or whether it be because situations have put us there. But help us to discover you are with us and help us to discover how you will bring us through. Help us to find the beauty that you've placed before us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.